thewellnesscouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives.
Welcome to 100 Not Out, featuring your hosts, Dr. Damien Kristoff and Marcus Pierce.
Hello and welcome to 100 Not Out, a weekly show dedicated to helping you master the art of aging well. Marcus Pierce here with you, and I don't compare. Like Sinead O'Connor once sang, nothing compares to the number one longevity expert known universe. Nothing compares to Dr. Damien Kristoff. How are you, brother?
Oh, brother, so much better having you serenade me down the microphone. Unbelievable, PC. So good. Just love that. So good.
And God rest Sinead O'Connor's soul. We absolutely grew up in the Sinead O'Connor
generation.
One of the great Irish
nothing compares to her. She was fantastic.
She was an angel. Now, I start off with a bit of Sinead because you've been having some conversations lately. And today we're talking about comparisonitis. There's good comparison, there's bad comparison, or maybe let's call it empowering comparison, disempowering comparison. Maybe you could call it inspiring comparison. Whatever the opposite of that is. But Damo, you've been having some conversations lately. Let's have a chat today about comparing.
Yeah, let's do it. This conversation came up because of a conversation I was having this morning, just talking about, you know, who do you compare yourself to? So for me, like in the way in which I play golf, or for me in the way in which I try and stay fit and strong, who am I comparing myself to? And really, at the end of the day, most of the time for me, it's not going to be anyone from Instagram. It's not going to be anyone from Facebook.
You are way fitter than anyone on Instagram.
Not doing that.
Your six-pack is way bigger than the Liver King or whoever else out there is flashing their abs. If only you took your shirt off.
I wouldn't mind having abs like that, but I'm not going to do the work to get it. So clearly I can't compare myself to that person. But for me, I was reflecting on who keeps me motivated to, you know, stay well and to stay fit. And then I looked at my peers and you know, some of my closest mates, and I think to myself, all right, who do I want to be like and continue to be held accountable by, you know? So one of my really close mates, he knows who I'm talking about, even if I just said, wow, he knows exactly who I'm talking about. He's ripped. But he's 10 years younger than me, and he's faster than the fastest man on the planet. Like, he's just so strong, and he knows it. And I can't compare myself to him because I'm not going to do the work to end up being like him, you know. So I then think about, all right, so where do I want to focus my energies? And so I look then, when I look at, say, my practice, I compare my practice against other like-minded practitioners and practices to kind of see – how's that running and how could I make my practice better? And I compare my health and well-being to people that are about 10 or 15 years younger than me, because that's kind of where I feel like I should be given the decisions that I make in my life. So if I'm making decisions around food and alcohol and exercise and all of those sorts of things, I expect that my health and well-being is going to be as good as my healthy 15 year younger peers than me. You know, so I'm looking at the guys that are 35 and 40, somewhere in that sort of range, to see how I compare against them or, you know, with them. And then from a golf perspective, I take great inspiration from people that are around 25 to 30 years old to see what sort of shots they continue to play, because I feel like that helps me chase better scores and better golf. Now, I compare myself to a bloke who is an ex-pro, but he's around my age. And I think, okay, he can still do the stuff that the 27-year-olds are doing because he's dedicated his life to that. And I like to play a lot of golf. So I have ranges of people that I compare myself to give myself a bar that I'm aiming for, to be the person that I want to be, if that makes sense.
I love this. I've been writing down the different things that we have the ability to compare to, and maybe that in society we do. So you've mentioned exercise and movement, and in your world around golf. And then I know one day you try to compare yourself to your great son Jackson, and you rip your calf off the bone trying to run as fast
as you running.
You know, yeah. and every parent out there that's played sport with their kids trying to outdo them at some point has got some horrific injury.
The father son football game. You know. Yeah,
trying to take a specky and then, oh, my back! you know, so there's that family-based comparison. Then I wrote down aging well. We compare ourselves to, oh, they're aging well, and there's that just comment in itself is a comparison, because how do you actually set a point for that? What is the definition of that? We might compare ourselves from a wealth status, a family status. I think a parenting status is very much, or the way people parent is often a source of comparison, a job status, the type of work that people are in, or the position they have within a company or a business space, and so on. And I think it's really, and then probably even more, just as I write more down, a health status. We talk about how diet has become a friggin' status symbol in society. Like, are you keto? You know, are you on the plant-based diet? Are you doing Mediterranean? You know, are you carnivore? You know, how much broccoli have you had today? Have you been having any salicylates? And have you been having oxalates?
No, I'm salicylate, oxalate, FODMAP friendly. Like, I'm all of that. Yeah.
Are you on the downwind diet? So I think, you know, I've written down as you've been talking, like, we have to really own the adventure that we can control. Like comparisons to things that we have, for want of a better term, no influence over or little value on. Like, for example, if I was comparing my golf game to your game, it's just a no-brainer because I don't play golf. It's not actually a thing. So what even is the benefit of comparison? In your example, it's a really healthy It's a healthy comparison because you're using it as a way to either get better or to measure where you are right now. So if you use it as a tool for reflection and then projecting an improved version of you into the future. So if you learn from friends who you can see parent their kids in a more empowering manner, like I always find it interesting, the things that I get triggered by with my kids, and then you might see your friends in the same situation not blow their lid. It's I wonder what it is within them that makes them not go wild, and I would go wild. Or things that people choose not to spend money on that you might jump in and spend money on real quickly, or vice versa. Around health, the whole thing around alcohol is really important. So I feel it is a real comparison these days around, well, one, if you drink or not. And if, all of a sudden, if you don't drink, you're like, and this is not, this is no disrespect to people that don't drink, because it's just a generic view. It seems like if you don't drink, you've got the discipline of a friggin', you know, neutered monk. It's like, holy moly, like, how do you do that? And then if you do drink, some people almost feel like you're on the verge of a drinking problem and you can't actually just enjoy a drink. And so there's this comparison of like, oh, shivers, am I bordering on an alcoholic because I like a beer, versus, oh my gosh, am I a monastic monk because I don't drink, versus then if you actually do have an issue with alcohol consumption, many people aren't quite sure what to do because the comparison point in society is actually not healthy and empowering, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I feel like the actual way that we go about using comparison as a form of improvement, and you know, we might even call it radical improvement or 100% responsibility, which is what I think I love about your golf example, and exercise example as a rule, is where comparison can be a really good thing. Because I think overall, most people would think comparison gets a bad name because we talk about social media and Instagram and so on. But I truly believe comparison, if done well, can be really healthy. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I think comparison is really good. But I like comparison like I like to use data. So, you know, I use data from my phone and from my watch and from my Oura ring just to help me make better decisions. I use comparison to help me make better decisions, not to punish myself or to feel guilty or to feel shamed or anything like that. Like I want to hold myself accountable by using comparison. Does that make sense? So, like, for me, it's a source of motivation. Like the information that I get from my blood tests when I do them every year, or when I go and get an MRI on my body, or I get a coronary calcium artery score and it scores zero. You know, I use that information to motivate me to continue to do the things that I really know deep in my DNA are the right things to be doing. I use it for good, if that makes sense. Now, there are people out there that are using comparison from TikTok or using comparison from Instagram, and that can put them on an unhealthy pathway, both mentally, physically, emotionally. Like, it can be quite traumatic. And so I want to be sensitive to that and this conversation, because there could be some people listening to this that, you know, use comparison and it is detrimental to their mental health. So for the purpose of this conversation, we're talking about the utilization of comparison to enhance the decisions that you're making, not to hack your body or your mind into an altered state or a different, you know, point of well-being. So I also use judgment positively, which I think is also really important, because people can be judgy, and we've done a podcast on that, PC. I can't remember the podcast number, but I know that now that I've mentioned it.
Producer Min will find it. No, Min will find it. It's the best thing having a producer these days. Min will find it.
But we did judgy, and we also did don't shoot on me. But I use that, these days, I use a bit of judgment, like judgment from people, to help refine my intensity, if that makes sense. So, like, using my comparison models, am I going to go really hard at that to achieve it, or not? And my barometer is the degree of judgment that I'm kind of comfortable with, if that makes sense. So I'm comfortable with a certain amount of judgment of my decisions that I make, to a certain level, and that helps guide me. So that's kind of like the guardrails in the swimming pool, or it's the guardrails on the 10-pin bowling lane, whatever it is, the bumper rails. I use them so that I still move forward, but I don't veer too far to the sides, if that makes sense.
This is I've just written down here, comparison leads to judgment, which leads to decision, in the way that you're saying it, which I think is really powerful as a process to observe, going, okay, so if I'm comparing in a negative sense, like you said, if I'm on social media and I'm comparing myself to others, then I'm going to judge myself, and let's say I'm going to judge myself poorly. I'm going to say negative things about myself, and then I'm going to decide that, oh, look, it's not worth it to exercise because I'm never going to look like him or her. I'm never going to be as healthy as him or her because that's just, you know, too expensive or too hard. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough, or whatever it is that we're not enough. And I would say, like, just to really put a really quick action on this, if you do find yourself in a comparisonitis disempowered state, and it is in relation to a high social media consumption, the biggest favor that you can do yourself is to heavily reduce and or eliminate that consumption for a period of time, and to check in with yourself regularly as to how much better your own mental health and self-esteem is, because there's no doubt that that level of consumption, if you're sensitive to it, can have a massive impact on your self-judgment, self-love, and then the decision-making process that Damo's been talking about then as a result can be negatively affected. So I think that's massive. We have a guest coming up in the next couple of weeks, Jane McCann, who I think on Instagram is middle-aged goddess or something like that. And she's going to be a great conversation in blowing the lid off this conversation around judgment. Because Damo, I don't know what you think, but I know a lot of people talk about, as you get older, and you can say this as someone who's turned 50, that you just give a lot less F-bombs as you get older. But then I do also sense that there is still quite a level of comparisonitis and judgment in all human beings. But it's not as if people that aren't older don't judge and don't compare. So how do you find that at the phase of life that you're in terms of, and maybe even talk about social status, wealth status, job status, you know, in the middle age god phase that you are in?
That's hilarious. So that's a quick, this is a question without notice. I would, so for me, PC, I probably judge backwards more than what I judge forwards. And what, so let me, you know, maybe explain that. I look to the younger generation and question myself and question them as to what the F are they doing and what do they think they're going to get from doing that behavior. So, like, when I look at unhealthy or unhealthful behaviors or unhealthy or unhealthy, unhealthful, well, it comes down to behaviors at the end of the day. When I look at that, I think to myself, why are you doing that and what do you think is going to come out of that? And that's a whole nother conversation. And obviously I'm feeling that as a rawness at the moment based on some of the things that have gone on in my practice recently. Like, I'm kind of going, what are you thinking? So I'm becoming judgy looking back at the younger generation. When I look forward and I look at people who are older than me, I'm seeing people who aren't looking after themselves as much, who are older than me, I'm seeing them less. Like, I'm parting the way and I'm keeping my eyes on those people that are looking after themselves better than I look after myself, because they're kind of my guide rails. They're
your mentors.
That's who I'm looking towards. That's who I want to be like, you know? And so I'm not judging them per se, and I'm judging less looking forward than I am looking back, primarily because I'd love for the people who are yet to get to where I am in age to think probably more about the decisions that they're making at a younger age, not only about their health, but also about their lifestyle, about the people that they piss off or whatever else. You know, like I feel like they could open their eyes more and look further forward to think, oh, yeah, that's how I want to be. And maybe that's how I was back then too. You know, 30 years ago, was I a little bit closed-minded and not really looking to the forward and, you know, to the future and all that sort of stuff. But I feel like now that I'm at 50, I feel like I'm looking towards those people that have succeeded and are succeeding in their life through all seven parts of your triangle. Through all seven parts of your triangle, I feel like they're doing a good job on it and I want to be more like them. Like our previous listener that we spoke about in a previous podcast, Mary, I look at what she's done and I think, how good, like what a great thing to be doing. So.
Oh, this is really interesting. Yeah.
What about you, PC? Like, are you judgy? Like, where do you find judgy and comparison? How do they kind of, you know, blend for you?
I would like to think that as a selfish firstborn Leo that has no empathy or very little empathy, I'm not an empath. So I go to sleep at night not worrying about other people. I hardly worry about my own life, let alone other people's lives. So I would like to think that I am not judgy, because I would like to think that I'm very happy for everyone to go on their own path. I feel like at the end of the day, there is so much variety in the world that however someone lives their life, it is not our right to be able to tell them that it's the good, the bad, the right, the wrong way, because we could always be proven wrong. And I often say on the back of a line that came out of a book by Leo Tolstoy, I think it's called The Death of Ivan Illich, and he gets to the end of his life and he says, what if I got it all wrong? And I think that's it's a position that if we really adopt that comes a lot of humility, in that I often think about my own talk, you know, stuff about the exception life blueprint and even our work in longevity. What if there's only seven areas, as Damo says? What if longevity is not purpose, movement, and social? What if it's all about getting as much money in the bank and eating KFC every day and, you know, having the worst family life? And, you know, but what if I'm not right? And
I reckon you're right.
Provides me with a humility to not get in the way of anyone on their diet adventure, anyone that's, you know, breaking up in relationships or getting together with people that we don't think and so on. I remember that I almost had an intervention with a dear friend from school with his girlfriend that we thought as his mates that it wasn't the right relationship. It was judgy. And we're going, this woman is not right for you. They have been happily married for 15 plus years. Wow. Who am I, despite being a great friend, who am I to get in the way of that. And so those types of examples for me, like you said, almost like judging backwards, but almost like reflecting backwards on judgments. Mm. It's like, okay, like judgment can often be, who are you to make this position or this comment? Yeah, like it's a really, I think life has a great way of leveling everything out. And I think you and I talk often about swings and roundabouts, and often those swings and roundabouts, if you let them take place, will often, make it clear that non-interference, as has been spoken about many times before, non-interference is a great way to live. So even in my work with one-on-one clients, I would never call myself a coach. I would never be like, you must do this in order to get that result. I'll be like, here's a pathway. You don't have to walk it, but I know the pathway leads to that town because I've been to that town before and I know it, but I'm not going to tell you that you have to walk it. I'm just saying if you want to go to that town, that's the path. But people stop on the path all the time. Think of health as an example. You'd see it in at Vita or even in chiropractic or nutrition or naturopathy. People will stop for 3 months. It gets too hot in the kitchen. They need to go back to average for 6 months and then get really unhappy with average to get a fire burning in the belly to make improvements to get better. And that process you can't call wrong or bad or illegitimate or whatever. That's just the path that some people take. And I know I'm rubbing on a bit here, but it's just kind of that's my insight into why I think I'm not very judgy.
Right. Okay, good. So that's a bit of point of reflection that you kind of go, who am I to be judgy? That's what you said. That's the summary.
Yeah, that's a great headline, actually. Yeah, I just said that.
Well, that took you 4 minutes to get out. Well done. But good work, Pizzy. You got there in the end. And that's
See, with a bit of wisdom, you have an efficiency of words that I'm yet to absorb into my genome.
I love it. Good work, Pizzy.
On that note, it's time to end the words. And say thank you to everyone. If you want deep and meaningful, word-inefficient conversations with us in Icaria and Sardinia, you are welcome to join us August 22 to 31 in Icaria, Sardinia 1 to 10. All the details at 100notout.com. As my sister mentioned the other day, Damo, in one of the promos that people have probably already listened to on this episode, I think I say don't dilly-dally. My sister messaged me going, don't dilly-dally, with a laughing emoji. And I was like, what are you talking about?
You do say dilly-dally. That is something you do say.
I am going to say don't dilly-dally because the dates are fixed. We've got a group already coming. There's one or two spots left. Don't dilly-dally if you think you want to join us. Already I'm using lots of words. I'm going to end it now and say until next time, may the rest of your life be the best of your life.
I think I say bye for now.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.